Come on, give somebody next to you a high five. Is it Go Steelers? That's how we roll. Woo! Cleveland Browns got nothing on us today. If you're in Cleveland Brown orange, you can leave. God bless. Love you, man. That was awesome, Brendan. I love Brendan, and it's just great to unplug a little bit and just kind of go solo. And he pulls that off so well, and we're so blessed by Brendan and his leadership and his team. Man, just incredible. Just a great presence this morning. But we do welcome you. If you're new, we're pumped. If you've been an invited guest, we honor you this morning. We thank you for being here. I believe this, that you're here and you're here on purpose. Man, I do. I believe everything in me about that. Somehow you got here today. Man, you may walk in this place and go, man, I feel encouraged, man. I feel really pumped about worship. And I came in really good. I came in with, my soul is good, man. Even just last week, we talked about it. Renee and I were up here on stage together and just had an amazing moment up here. Renee was in her zone and she was just ripping last week, incredible verses and just really sharing the truth. And just, she said something. I went back and listened because I like to listen to my preaching, not because I think I'm good, because I want to improve. Hello? Like, okay, there's a mistake. Whoop, why did you say, oh man, and Renee, she said something last week that says you can't live off of yesterday's joys. I mean, when you really come to a place, you realize today has enough trouble of its own, man. If I just try to live off of yesterday's joys, and I don't, watch this now, and I don't find joy in the moment, I don't find joy in today, where's my joy today? If I live off of yesterday's joys alone, yesterday becomes a fast distance if I don't find joy today. And man, that spoke to me, and I listened to that again, and I was just like, oh, the girl is good. Like, she's just on a moment last week. And it was just such an amazing service. And we're going to continue this for several weeks. As I went to the DR in the Dominican Republic and went, and just when I go and I'm able to go alone, I love it. Renee travels with me. But I just had some serious solo time, and I went into this soul search of what really is your soul, your body, your soul, your spirit. And I just went into deep in regards to scripture and just totally not planned. It was just one of them things that was just like, you know, where is this leading me? And it turns into where we're at today in regards to this whole series in regards to checking your soul. And we're going to get into this. So wherever you're at in your soul, man, I hope that you are encouraged in our crying out to the Lord and our worship and just being so thankful for who he is and what he's done for us. And I hope you've had a great week. I do. I hope you had a wonderful week. I pray for you during the week for grace and peace. And just, I don't know if you enjoyed the rain, sleet, snow, cold yesterday. It was horrible all day. And I say that because we were outside in it all day because my man Ethan, made the all-star football team at the pony level. I mean, we're almost talking NFL. We're close. And it was New York ponies against the Pennsylvania ponies. And I don't know if they teach football in Pennsylvania or not. I'm not sure, unless you're at a Steeler level, like an NFL level. But New York crushed the Pennsylvania ponies. It was wonderful, but it was cold. And like you got metal benches. It's that 37 degrees rain the whole time and you're freezing, right? And you're just like, can you not stop the clock anymore? We're already crushing you. Let's not embarrass you more. Just don't stop the clock. Let's get out of here and go get into some heat, right? But the refs are throwing the flag. Like, I don't care if that was a flag. Just let the clock go. It was just, I'm one of them dads. I was being a dad. I wasn't a coach at the time. I was being a dad going, get the game over. Let's go. We're killing you anyways. It was great. And at the end of the game, of course, they meet in the middle of the field. And I'm telling you, it didn't stop raining. It was pouring and it was freezing. And the kids are frigid and they're shaking. And then the coaches have to give a speech from the Pennsylvania side and then the New York coaches. And I'm just a parent going, shut up. Like, who cares? It's freezing out here. Of course, I didn't say that out loud. I was sour in my spirit for a moment. But it was, but it was a great day. We crushed Pennsylvania. If it was a dry day, we would have killed you even more. Anyways, but that's not important. Let's preach. But I do hope that you had a great week. And I do pray for you during the week as our community and as our church is continuing to see growth just in numbers and in spirit and in just community and in love for one another. And I love what's happening here. I love Sundays is my favorite day as I splash my water everywhere. Mm-hmm. I hope you love Sundays because we love Sundays. But I just want to get into this morning and just kind of It's going to be, I think it's going to be one of those days where the message just comes to us and hits us anywhere we're at today. And just going through this week and just praying over this week and just really seeing a scripture really come alive to me and just really understand what is our soul. Because we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And I think you start with what's not your soul. We can start there. Let's turn to third John, verse 2. It's the third to last book in the Bible, third John, Jude, Revelation. So turn to third John 2, and then we're going to turn over to Genesis. But let's just pray and just ask God. God, this is a moment. We're here in this moment in your word. Your word is alive and powerful, and it can just speak to us. And Father, I just ask that this morning, that God, your word speak to us today. Your word is powerful. And Father, I just pray that your word be food for our soul this morning, that you would feed us today, that our souls, not just our bodies, but God, our souls will be fed today, that we walk out of this place different from when we came in this place this morning. God, we walk out built up and encouraged no matter what condition we've come in this place with, God, that you would speak into our souls today. That God, the creator of the universe, God, with all your power and all your might, God, that you would whisper, literally just whisper into our spirits today from your word. And then we walk out encouraged and built, strengthened. We ask this in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. And again, you look at what the soul isn't. Like you look at what's not the soul. The soul isn't your height. It's not your weight. It's not your eye color. It's not your hair color. It's not the color of your skin. These are all outside things. It's not where you were born. It's not what country you belong to. That is not your soul. That is outside material. That is your body. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. So you look at, well, what is my soul? Well, it's not your outside appearance. It's not the length of your hair. It's not you being bald and beautiful and wonderful and exciting looking without hair and just, hey, if my wife loves it, I'm good. It's not how big your feet are. Watch this now. It's the you who makes up you. That's what your soul is. It's the you who makes you you. Man, write that down because there's so much in that. It's the you that makes you you. Your eye color doesn't make you you. Your hair color doesn't make you you. Your skin color doesn't make you you. The country that you were born in doesn't make you you. Well, what makes me me? It's your soul. And your soul is made up of your emotions and your will and your choices and your desires. And it's made up of your emotions, and it's made up of your joys, and it's made up of your sorrows. This is what the inside looks like. It's the inside. Man, that's who you are, is your soul. So is the soul important? Would I dare say that your soul is even more important than your body? Your soul being more important than the color of your eyes. The soul in its condition, in its health, being more important than the color of your hair. But we get so wrapped up on what's on the outside. And I think sometimes we, and maybe not even on purpose, but sometimes on purpose, we ignore what's on the inside. Because we actually come to this place to fall into a lie to say, if I'm all good on the outside, if my bank account is good, which isn't your soul, if my address is better than the next, which isn't your soul, if that's all good, but my soul's not good, then I think I'll be okay. Now let's look at this. Look at 3 John. Because that's a lie that we can fall into. And then eventually, our body begins to deteriorate or things on the outside don't go so well. Or maybe your bank account doesn't go so well or your address has to change for some reason. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself where your soul was a wreck. But you faked it and you got along okay until your body fell apart or until tragedy struck or until, and then what happens? Watch this, man, this is so real today. What happens with your soul? I want you to see this because this is what 3 John says. This is John the Apostle, and he's writing this, and he says this, verse 2, Beloved, I pray. And I love the word beloved. It means that he's in relationship with that which he's writing. These are people that he desperately cares for. That's what, when you see beloved, it means, listen, we have a relationship. And he's writing this in an idea of, I very, very care for you. There's this level of care and this level of love that he has for who he's writing to here. And it's this relationship. And this is what he says. He says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Now, you could read this on surface level and say, you mean I'm supposed to prosper, which means I'm supposed to have the address, I'm supposed to have the bank account, and I'm never supposed to get sick because I'm supposed to be in good health. When you go into the depth of this verse, that's not really what it means. Because we can just read something at times and just take it as surface level instead of really digging into the reality of what the words mean. But it says this, I pray that in all respects. The word all respects, it means in everything. It means in every area of your life. I love that. Is this area left out? No. Is my marriage left out? No. Is my health left out of this? No, not really. Is my finances left out of this? No, not really. But that's not the whole big picture, because health does deteriorate. Finances do come and go. So what does this mean? Like in all areas, watch this. I love this, that you may prosper. And if you're taking notes, I love the word prosper. It means that you would have a successful journey. Like when you start going overseas and you begin to see people who really don't have anything, but yet at the end of their day, they can turn around with Jesus in their life going, you know what? I had a successful journey. My soul was okay during the journey. Therefore, I had a successful journey. Listen, when you begin to dive into this verse, when you begin to understand what it really means, as your soul goes, so do I. Listen, watch this. As my soul goes, so that where my soul goes, there I go. When you see this, you begin to understand how important it is to keep your soul healthy. How important it is not to ignore your soul. Not to go into a place going, I'm good on the outside. But the inside, it doesn't really matter with no. Because watch this, look at this. In all respects, in every area of your life, in all things that you may prosper. And the word prosper here doesn't necessarily just have to do with wealth. It literally means a successful journey, watch this now, with joy. You mean in my struggle, I'm supposed to still have joy if you have a healthy soul? You mean in my tragedy, I can still have a peace if you have a healthy soul? And today's one of them real days that we just going to take a magnifying glass to our soul and answer a real question. How's your soul? Because I'm starting to do this study, and it was more for me, and then it turned in more for us. Or when I see the word soul in Scripture, you know I love the Crayolas, and I do this whole Crayola thing, and anytime I see soul or heart or spirit, which is all on the inside, I now highlight that in blue, and then I simply write down right next to that, how's my soul? So that year from now when I reread all of this, I can go back to a place and ask myself again, how's my soul? Or it's 2 months when I come across something, how's my soul? Because it's a continuous biblical check of the reality of how's my soul? See, when you look at what it means to have a successful journey with joy, and then you look at means, may you prosper in good health. And the word good health there, it doesn't just mean on the outside. It means that all things work together. That I'm walking in a place of a condition that is not contaminated. I'm walking in a condition that is pure. I'm walking in a condition being successful in my journey, that all of these things are working together. My health is working together. My soul is being fed pure things and not impure things. I'm walking in a sense that I'm going to walk in a prosperous way, that I'm going to have a successful journey. Now watch this. I love this. Just as. This is a huge two-letter idea in a sense. It means in accordance to or just like your soul. Just like your soul prospers. As your soul goes on a successful journey, then you know what? Everything else will follow. That doesn't mean you're going to have health and wealth. That doesn't mean that your bank account's always going to be full. That means that at the end of the day, I can look through every stage of my journey and say, I walked in success because my soul was healthy. That's what this is talking about. And sometimes you look at, and I mean this in a real way, that we look at the outside so much, we look at the outside of somebody. Say, man, they live on the hill. Their bank account is good. They got the looks. They've got that status. How many times do we just look at the outside and say, man, they must have it all together? But yet you look at Hollywood and you look at the superstars and you look at the professional sports and you look at those who have so much, and how much is the suicide rate, and how much is it that you just kind of shake your head at some of these musical artists and you're just like, I really thought, what? How could that? How on earth could they actually have done what? Why? Because the outside isn't always a true report of what's going on the inside. You'd be so sick on the inside and look so good on the outside. And here's a very real police story, and I'll never forget it. I got called to a house. Me and my partner, Barry, we got called into a house on West Sullivan Street, and we pull up like we would any other night. And it's dark, and we pull up, and you look, and it's summer, and you walk up through the house, and you look at the grass, and the grass is mowed, and you look at the hedges, and the hedges are cut, and everything looks good on the bushes, and you walk onto the porch, and the house is fairly newly painted, and the door is newly painted, and you're just looking, and it's an everyday normal day where we get a call, concerned individual, where we haven't seen, I can't remember his name, Forsake, we haven't seen John for a while. Could you do a person check on John? Usually we see him outside in the neighborhood. We haven't seen him in a long time. So we knock and no one answers. We knock and no one. It's just an everyday call. We get these calls all the time. And then we opened the door. The door was unlocked. And we opened the door. I'll never forget it. It was as if we went from the threshold of a nicely painted porch. It was a white and green house, and walked into, it was like we walked into the Twilight Zone. We walked into a living room area where there was newspapers stacked up to, it was above our chest, where there was zero walking area except this one little tiny path that we had to navigate through. There was cobwebs that covered the ceiling and covered the walls. Wallpaper was coming off. It was a plaster and lath home where the walls were starting to fall down. And it was, everything was covered. I mean, honestly, have you seen cobwebs that are covered in dust that have been there for years? And you're just like, you're looking out the door to a porch that's painted and you're walking into a place going, the outside doesn't match the inside. And we found our way to the place where, just so you're not all nervous, he was okay. He was not in the house, but he was off in a hospital somewhere. You walk into a place where you would see where he slept, and it was this broken down bed and a mattress that I couldn't even imagine how old this mattress was, where his body was imprinted into this dense mattress. There was a body print, and you're just like, what? And then we went upstairs and it got worse. We'd walk into bedrooms. And honestly, it looked like nobody walked in these bedrooms in 25 years. The walls literally were falling in. Like I said, these cobwebs were, they were this color black from the years of just dust and dirt that would collect on these cobwebs. And then we go into the bathroom, and there is a pile of used syringes, because he was a diabetic, that literally would come up to my chest, and it was about 3 feet wide. It was unbelievable. Me and Barry here just looking at each other going, what is happening right now? How can the outside... And listen, I went to Olean High School. It had to be in that condition when I went and walked past to go to school. How is it that for so many years, the outside looked so good and nobody would think twice, literally, didn't think twice. But yeah, the inside was so deteriorated. I mean, it was one of those things you literally thought, I just walked into a different dimension. I don't know what just happened here, but this is crazy. How does this even happen? How does no one, watch this now, how does no one ever see this? But I think that there's people all around us, church, all around us that look so good on the outside and are so, so unwell on the inside. They come to a place to look at this and say, God, I want to be so much better on the inside than I am on the outside. Because if I'm good on the inside, I can handle what takes place on the outside. I can handle a tragedy. I can handle a sickness. I can handle brokenness. But I need to be good on the inside. So what happens when you really, watch this now, you really look at yourself and say, am I okay? We don't just give a church answer. And I'm not saying in the foyer someone says, hey, how you doing? I'm not asking you to unload. That's not the time. Maybe it's a time that you find somebody. Maybe it is a time on a Sunday where you sit down with somebody that you know that you can trust. And you can really open up your heart and you can open up your soul and say, man, listen, I'm struggling. It's not as good as it seems. I'm not as good as I look. I don't mean in good looks. I come with my smile on, I come, pull up in my car, I come looking good on the outside, and I come and I even, woo, love to worship, but you know what, on the inside, I'm not good. And you find somebody that you really trust, and you do this true, true test of your soul. Reality check to say, how's my soul? You see, when you look at the first place in Scripture of our soul, you can turn to Genesis chapter 2, please. Right in the beginning, man. Genesis chapter 2. If you are looking for Genesis, just keep going. It's right in the front. Whoop. Genesis 2 says this. Watch this. And then the Lord formed man of dust from the ground. This is just crazy thought. It's crazy truth. The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. This is the first place you actually see soul in Scripture. And when your version may actually say, and man became a living soul. You see, there's this crazy picture that God, on day six of amazing creation, he put this whole pile of dirt together, like it says, from the dust of the ground. And he formed. It means to take the form of. That's what form means. To take the form of a man. And he put his head and he put his neck and he put his arms and he put his legs and he built this type of like body like a man. What a crazy design. Listen, God is an amazing artist and he's an incredible creative God Almighty. And he just creates the eyes and somehow creates the face where there's an actual nose and there's nostrils. And then God does the most bizarre, crazy thing. I mean, you could have thought that he could have spoke a word. You could have thought that he could have maybe laid hands on. You could have. What did he do? He breathed into the dirt. He breathed into the nostrils his own very breath. And he breathed into the nostrils. What did he breathe, church? The breath of life. When you go into a study of the word soul in Greek and Hebrew, it actually means living breath. It's amazing that when you really see the very first picture of soul, it's God Almighty creating this form out of dirt and dust and creating a face with a nose and with a with nostrils, and then he breathes life. But it's his very breath. And then that being became a living soul. And then all through scripture, we see where the word soul, it means breath, it means life, it means the me who makes me, me. And it came directly from God, the creator of the universe. So what happens when you begin to look into these scriptures, when you come to look at, does my soul respond to God? And watch this, please. What is it that you're feeding your soul? Because we reap what we sow. That's a guarantee from scripture. So as my soul goes, there goes I. Like as you look at your soul and the condition of your soul, so goes you. So what is it that we're feeding our soul? And listen, this is just a thought because it's a Halloween season. And you know I love the police shows where all the bad guys die at the end. That's my favorite shows, right? If the bad guy ends and he's done and he's dead or in jail, good show for me, right? Love those shows. But even now during this holiday season, there are shows that I have to turn off that I love because they get into this weird evil and it's a plot of evil. And all the movies out today during this holiday season are evil. And listen, please. Why is it that you can't sleep a night after watching an evil movie? Because it's what you fed your soul. And listen, I'm not saying don't celebrate Halloween. It's not Satan's birthday or anything. I mean, don't go that far, right? Some people say, well, it's Satan's birthday. It's not Satan's birthday. You know, it's not, but it's... There's a lot of evil that does surround it in regards to shows, in regards to movies, in regards to sitcoms. And honestly, what is it? Then you come to a place and say, I'm not going to feed that to my soul. Because I want to walk in good health. I want to walk in a sense of what it is to not contaminate my soul. I'm not going to put that evil in because you're going to get evil out. I'm not going to put, why do we willingly allow fear to show up? No, I'm serious. We got people who just walk around and they walk in fear. Well, you fed your soul fear. And somehow we think it's all right. Church, what happens when we really seriously take a look at what are you feeding your soul? Like you ever met people that just have a sour soul? They're just sour people. Bitter, they're angry, they're jealous. Well, that came from somewhere. Somehow they fed their soul jealousy. Somehow they fed their soul bitterness. They allowed it to come in and sit. Somehow they fed their soul anger. Somehow they allowed this emotion to come and sit. What is it that we're feeding our soul? You come to a place to really take a look. You take a look and say, am I as good on the inside as I am on the outside? Or, my outside's a little broken. But my inside as well. That you can come to a place to say, it's good with my soul. No, it's really good with my soul. Yeah, but man, you're going through a season. I know. Man, you've taken some hits. I know. Man, I see that you just, man, I know what took place, and I know the doctor's report, and I know the financial report, and I know that maybe you're taking some hits. I know. But I can tell you, my soul's okay. Hey, church, that can happen. You gotta believe we don't have to live in the ditch. You have to believe that I can go through a tragedy and I can go through a problem and I can go through a difficulty. But yet if my soul's okay, it will be looked back at as a successful journey. Because of what I've done with my soul and what I'm feeding my soul, and I'm feeding my soul truth. I'm feeding my soul encouragement. I'm feeding my soul joy. Man, I'm feeding my soul the spirit that reigns and dwells within me, church. Love. And joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Listen, that's a benchmark of the believer. What is it that we're feeding our soul? Because you can. I've seen it. You can go through hurt. You can go through struggles. You can go through brokenness. You can go through tragedy. And I've seen it where you're looking going, you're really okay. Like you're really good. On the inside, you're good. Yes. Because I fed my soul. I fed my soul truth. How much time do you spend in His truth? You know, I fed my soul joy. How much, I hope it's not just Sunday. How much do you spend in just being thankful, being a child of God? Can I ask you a serious question? How much room have you allowed the Lord to come into your soul? Now listen, I believe that we're made up of spirit, and spirit is where faith really drives from a spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit reigns in our spirit. Again, I'll touch on this in the future. We're made up of three parts. Now, when the Bible says heart, it's talking about kind of the heart is the inner person. It's kind of soul and spirit combined. And I don't want to confuse you in this moment. But honestly, I think that we honestly, I think sometimes we just come to a place to say, I got it. I'm good. I can handle this. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we can make, and we come to a place. I just want to read Psalm 139. I love this. And this is David. He comes to a place where he understands the reality of what God has done for him. And he says this, for you have formed my inward parts, my inner person, man. You formed my inward parts and you wove me from my mother's womb. He says, you knew me before Jesse ever knew me. Jesse was his dad. You knew me before mom ever knew me. You knew me before the creation of the universe. You knew me. You formed my inward parts. I love this. You wove me. Listen, Lord, you're the one who wove me. And look and think about the word woving. It's all these parts working together. Lord, you're the one who pulled me together in my mother's womb. Actually, it was your amazing creation that gave me my hair color and gave me my eye color and gave me my height and gave me my weight and gave me my shoe size. You put all of that together while I was in my, watch this now. That's how creative God is. And He knows you to your every inch. And then he says this, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God, why do I get so wrecked about the outside? Why do I get so crazy about what's going on the outside? When I can come to a place, say, God, I will give thanks to you, for I know that you put me together. You will, I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Then he says this is great. He says, wonderful are your works. Watch this. For my soul knows. You see what happens when your soul knows. God, you put me together. You handcrafted me. You created me. And my soul knows very well. God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I need to be okay on the inside. Watch this. Regardless of public opinion about the outside. Why do we struggle with that? Why are we so foolish on social media to really give a rip about what people think about social media, about you? Why do you get so twisted if someone didn't like your picture? Why do we get so racked about what public opinion is about my outside? That we actually allow that to sink deep past my skin and affect my soul. Just come to a place to say, my soul knows. My soul knows. your soul know? You just bow your heads, please, as we just kind of close this out. I mean, if you don't know Christ, let me just say this. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, your soul will never be okay. I'm telling you, your soul and your spirit will be eternally forever lost, and it will never come to a place where it could. If you've never come to a place to know Christ as Savior, you've never come to that place to really own up to our sin, to repent from our sin, and to believe that Jesus is exactly who He said He is. He is the Son of the living God, and that He is the Shepherd, and we can never get to the Father except through Him. He's the way, the truth, and life. All what He professed, He is. And to believe in that, and to come to a place to confess that He is Lord, to come to that place of repent, believe, and surrender. I confess, man. I make an agreement that You are Lord and You are Master and You are Sir. And in this moment, I just come to a place that I need You in my spirit. Because I'm so broken. And I know that I'm lost without You. That's first step. Let's just come to Jesus. Let's just come to Jesus. For us who know Christ, for us who understand that, man, how's my soul as a follower of Christ? With your eyes closed, man, your head down, I just want to read this to you so you really hear it. I only say that because I want you to hear it. I want you to concentrate on this. Psalm 33 says this: our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and He is our shield. And our heart, listen, it's amazing that we ask the Lord for help in our time of need. But yet we're told to wait, to have this expectation, this hope. My soul waits. Please hear this. Even in my own life, you just try to do it yourself, and you just try to do it yourself, and you just try to know I'm good. I'll get through this. I'll get through it. I'm okay. Don't need no help. I'm good. I got this. I got this. And then Jesus comes knocking and say, would you let me? No, Jesus, I'm good. I got this. Yeah. And I'm talking to the church. I mean, I'm talking to the believer going, so many times we just don't make room for Him in our soul. And we really actually think, I got this. I can do it. I can get through this. Man, I got wrecked. I've gone through a difficult. No. I don't need no help. I'm going to be okay. And I love the word because it just says, if you would just let your soul wait on the Lord, He's our help. He's our shield. Can I just say this? I think one of the hardest things that we can do is to allow ourselves to be weak. Just look at me. Everyone just look at me just for a minute, because I think this is so real. And I think, watch this. I think one of the most difficult things that we can do, because we want to be strong. Trust me. I want to be strong. I want to be like, nope, I'm good. I can put on a shell like anybody else. But I think one of the most difficult things to do, maybe just for me, is to open up and allow myself to be weak. Because you got to know this. It's in our weakness that He's allowed to come in and then make us strong. But we want to just shout, and we want to just guard, and we want to just say, nope, I'm not weak. I've got this. I'm all right. I can handle this. No. It's only a season. I'll get through this. No, I'm going to trust on yesterday's joy. Well, that's going to be a long journey. What happens? Watch what happens. Honestly, when you come to a place to say, I need to allow myself to be weak. Because then I could be made strong. You see, then I could be made strong. Where are you in this today? Take a look at your soul. Where are you today in this? It's just a real moment in this place. You say, God, I'm laying it down. I'm allowing myself to be weak enough to say, I need you. I can't do this. Everything man-made isn't working. I'm unhealthy on the inside. And I need you to make me strong. Father, I just pray over these people in this moment. God, that I open up my weakness so that you may make me strong. I will allow my soul to wait on you. And in that I'll have help. And you'll be my shield. And you'll be my refuge. Make me strong again. That you begin to work on my soul. Begin to heal my soul. Bring joy again to my soul. And I will sow life into my soul. I will sow health into my soul. I will sow truth, your word, into my soul. I will sow joy into my soul. And you'll make me strong. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. Amen.